Hello, this is Roy Lilly. Well, you know, it was Thomas Jefferson who wrote, "All men are created equal." And in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, a very similar phrase was adopted by the UN General Assembly. Indeed, the US Declaration of Independence stated all men are created equal, but at the time, and this was in 1776, one-fifth of the population were enslaved people, and one-third of the Declaration signatories were personally enslavers. Equal? No. Not true then, and not true today. In fact, in 2020, nearly a third, 29% of all children in the UK, that's about just over 4 million, were born into poverty. Equality is a myth. We have an equal right to vote, but because of the voting system, depending on where you live, the process can be a complete waste of time. And we have an equal right to fresh air. So try living in London or Brighton or Cardiff. And I link actually today into some data on that, and you'll be surprised. It's worth a look. Equal access to healthcare? Well, in theory, yes, but we all know the stories. What about waiting lists? Are they equal? Is everyone on the list waiting for similar things, waiting for the same amount of time? No. In a new report from the Institute of Fiscal Studies, we find lots of anomalies. The elective waiting list has risen in every region and commissioning area, but there have been large differences between regions and areas. The waiting list has grown by less in the southwest, London, and the northeast and Yorkshire than it has in the east of England and the northwest. There are also very large differences by clinical specialty, and there's more. The report says all the extremes, the elective waiting lists, was 113% higher in December 2023 than in January 2020 in the east of England, compared with 71% higher in the northeast and Yorkshire and 74% higher in London and the southwest. There are all sorts of population factors that might account for the differences, and have a look in the report and start at figure 6. There's some very good graphics in it. There's huge variation in waiting in London compared to the southwest, and that must tell us something if it's only do something. There's huge variation in waiting lists for clinical specialties, of figure 8 in the great graph in the report. Gyn is up 109% and cardiothoracic only 17.6%. Pay attention. This is starting to look like a very bad case of variation. There's huge variation in waiting lists for diagnostic tests. And again, there's a great graph in the report. You know, drilling down into it, there's a huge fascination in the variability in all this. And again, there's huge variation. Only 15% of those on the waiting list have had a decision made to admit them to hospital for treatment. This varies by type of treatment. Most on the cardiac list are waiting for a diagnostic or a decision. Again, look at the graphs. 15 hospitals have the longest lists, but there's variation in the geography. It was our old friend Edward Deming who said, "Uncontrolled variation is the enemy of quality." Now, that is unarguable, but there's something else. Variation is always trying to tell us something. Why? What? And is it something we have to tolerate, mitigate, avoid, or fix? In this case, variation is telling us to be careful about where we live and what we choose to have wrong with us, whatever ails us, with great care. I live in the wrong place with the wrong thing, and he might die waiting. If we agree that waiting for treatment is an indicator of quality or poor quality, then we should be thinking about fixing it. First, figure out what type of variation we're dealing with, because variation varies. There are 7 types: controlled, random, mathematically predictable, due to common causes, or sometimes special causes, or from within the progress or system, or from outside. Multidisciplinary teamwork, equipment scheduling, workforce issues are a start, and then there are variables attributable to the environment, demographics, and population health. Where waits are shortest for a specialty but longer elsewhere, are we thinking process or people? people working closest to the problem are most likely to tell you. Deming speaks about the role of what he calls profound knowledge, what the people doing the work know. All of this is really, it's just basic management technique, but there is something else, and that's resource allocation. Is there a case for a more sophisticated allocations model? Should we be smarter about where we put the money? If not all waiting lists are equal, then we have to ask, is an unequal distribution of resource the way to go? The latest letter from NHS England's Lucy and Desi show, and I linked to it this morning, turns funding into a grim game show. Lucky winners in a thoughtless league table that rewards the best and ignores the rest. It will never be better if we don't invest in them. This blatant political imperative about waiting lists ignores the fact headline numbers are real people. This is a national health service, not a Premier League table. Not for nothing, allocation comes with an N for national. There are 65 medical specialties, more than 110 tests and procedures, and there are 15 key diagnostics. The data shouts, yells, and screams at us, deconstruct waiting lists and focus on where they are stuck. So if anyone wants to talk to you about waiting lists, ask them, which one? Thanks for listening. This has been Roy Lilly, and I hope we'll speak again real soon. Bye-bye now.